Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here once again in the house of God. Anybody excited that they're in the house of God today? As I was driving yesterday, my mom had some studio equipment, some older equipment she was getting rid of. And as we were driving, we drove past 405 and there was a tree that had hit the whole side of 405, both sides. And, you know, and the first thing I do is I'd be like, thank you, God, because that could be any of us. There's no, we can't count when a tree's going to fall. You know, all these mudslides and things that are going on like that. So we just have to be thankful that God is faithful. Amen. To keep his hand of protection on us. Amen. So I thank God for that. We do pray that God will protect just this area, man, really the world. We see the world is kind of having a lot of different things go on, right? We see all the, we see the storms, the earthquakes, the typhoons, the breakout of the virus that's in China, right? That was, they think it came from that area. But there's a whole bunch of things, but guess what? Somebody said we got good news. We got good news. The good news of Jesus Christ still saves. Amen. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. And we can stand on that and take that to the bank. Amen. I had some kids on my basketball team this week. And it was like, but they got the coronavirus. And you got to be careful. I said, no, I'm covered by God. You know, I tell the little guy, but you got to get some Clorox. No. Jesus is stronger than Clorox. Amen. Jesus, he will cover me. He will keep me. But I said, but that doesn't mean I go looking for that virus either. You know, we have to use wisdom. Amen. Somebody tell your neighbor, wisdom is key. And the Bible says to get wisdom and understanding, we must know God. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray and let's get into today's message that he put on my spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity and the ability to share your word today, God. And I pray, dear God, that your word would transform, God, that your word would go forth, that it would impact us, change us. Dear God, that as we read this word, dear God, that we would say, that is what I want to become because you led the way. You are the prototype. And God, we say we will follow you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. And amen. So as I was praying, I really felt the spirit of God, and it's crazy. How many know that God speaks to you through the things that you go through sometimes through your week? And I was talking to one of my good friends, and we actually read the Bible to get together this week, and we're actually going to read that passage that I read. But I was also talking to another pastor, and this same thing kept coming up. And, you know, one of the things that we were saying is the enemy is trying to get us busy. Anybody feel that right now? The enemy wants to keep you busy so you cannot focus on what he really wants you to focus on. Amen. Sometimes it's not the ability to do things. Sometimes it's doing too much that gets us missing God. Amen. I was talking with one of the pastors. I was like, hey, I had to get up and thank God for my wife. One of my other car has stopped working. And when it stopped working, I had to take her to work. So I had to get up earlier. All the kids had to get up earlier. And that messed up my prayer time because that was my prayer time. And I was like, but I was like, I have to adjust, right? So that I don't miss the things that I really need. Amen. There are some things that we, as I was watching a YouTube video this week, it was called the non-essentials, right? Things that can't change. When I go here, that's not going to change. One guy says, I have to put my children to bed every night. We read the Bible. We read a story. He says that can't change. So in my schedule, I had to adjust things and make sure the things that can't change stay still. Amen. So the enemy is trying to get us busy, or another one he tries to do is get us tired. Right. The Bible says, do not grow weary right? For in due season, you will reap your reward, right? But that means that some of us, we begin to get weary. All right. Being weary is something that we, first of all, can't allow to happen to us. Right. I was talking to Brother Tamron as we were on the way. He was like, I have to get some rest. How many know we have to rest? Rest is biblical. God created the earth in how many days? Nope. Six. And on the seventh day, he rested. Right. Now, it wasn't that God didn't have the strength, Brother Tamron. It wasn't God didn't have the strength to keep going 7 days, but he wanted to implement something within us. You also see that with the children of Israel, he created what he called the Sabbath day, and he said, keep this day holy. Don't do any work on this day. Relax, right? And many of us, sometimes we think that's an option. So then what happens is we run and we're busy. We're tired and busy. All right. Put it together. Busyness, tired. I don't know if you get that's a word, but you know what I mean? We're so consumed with things going on in our life that we miss what we're really supposed to be doing. Amen. So we must make sure today's title is we must defend the faith. OK, that's our job. As I look at Paul, his mission, I look at Peter, everywhere they go, they share the gospel, but then they also put people in place to defend, right, the faith. And part of defending the faith is to make sure you are in the right place with God. Amen. My first passage, I only got two passages today, but I'm going to read these. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. This is the first one, and this is the very first scripture that came into my spirit. But in order for us to defend the faith, we have to make sure we are not preoccupied with other things. There's a scripture in the Bible where Paul talks about a true soldier does not get, what is the word? He does not get affiliated, for lack of a better word right now, with civilians' things, right? That means a believer has different things that they must walk in. Right. I can't consume myself with what everything in the world is being consumed with, because what happens is I am not. When you are consumed, you cannot hear. There's no more room to hear God. Right. When you are filled with something, the Bible says if we are filled with anything, it should be the Spirit of God. Amen. So we cannot be filled. Somebody tell your neighbor, you can't be filled with anything, but you must be filled with the holy thing. And that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy 4, 2, 1 through 5. When you got it, you can pull it up. I have it here, though. It says, preach the word. Somebody repeat that. Preach the word. It says, be ready in season and out of season. You don't have to repeat that, but that's all right. I like that you guys was ready. Amen. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? And it tells us the very reason why. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, somebody say me, be watchful. Somebody say watchful. In all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So what is this saying here? We're going to break it down just a little bit. But first of all, you have to be ready at all times. Somebody say at all times. When I look at this, we are to be ready to defend the word of God. But you have to what? To defend the word of God. What do you have to do? You have to know the word of God. Okay, so that means we have to have our time spending with the word, and also have our time spending with God, so that we don't miss the opportunities that God has for us. Amen. Has anybody, let's just by a show of hands, have you ever heard God tell you to do something and you were like, God, I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'm ready. God, can you send somebody else? Because, you know, that seems a little bit hard. God, why would you ask me to do it? But the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. And I'm gonna say this, the times that I've went and done street ministry, or even I've been outside of an event and God led me to speak to somebody, I didn't have what prepare what I was going to say to that person. But as I talked, the Spirit of God would bring scriptures into my mind. He would bring different things that were that he wanted me to share with these people because I was ready to do it. Now, some of us, here's the difference. Some of us think we have to be qualified to do it. And guess what? The Spirit will qualify you. Okay? That doesn't mean you don't search the scriptures, and the Bible says study to show yourself approved. That's still part of it. But know that God, he will put inside of you things that he wants you to share. Amen? Amen. So we have to be ready in season and out of season. Somebody say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. Then also say, we must convince. What does that mean? Somebody help me. What does convince mean? Persuade, to tell somebody, to show the truth, really, right? When I convince, this is it. And they be like, okay, man, you're right. I'm convinced. What you said is true. Do you know the more that we share the word of God with people, sometimes the first time, because some of us, we didn't get saved the first time we heard about God, right? Some of us was like, that's foolish. I don't want to hear that. That's a waste of my time. Nah, I'm good. But what began to happen is somebody kept planting seeds, and somebody kept watering what was planted. One day, God got the increase in your life. Amen. So we must convince. That means we must stand on his word. How many know that there's people? I think we should all know this, right? There's people that don't believe the word of God. Right. So what do we do? Oh, man, that's just too bad. Is that what we do? You know, or do we say, hey, man, well, let's take time to study. Let's take time to get into this word. Amen. I was actually downtown last week. We were walking, and me and my friend Jordan, we were going around, and he has an evangelistic YouTube channel that he just talks with different people about God. And one of them that we did not record was a guy who came up with a whole bunch of different things that he tried to say that why he didn't believe in God. One of them, he counted all the people that he said God killed versus all the people that he said the devil killed. And he was like, well, God's tally of kills are higher than the devil's tally of kills. Right. And I mean, he went on. He had like a whole bunch of stuff. And I was like, hold on. Wait, we have to talk about one thing. OK, because he was going all over the place. And there was a short amount of time that we were able to talk to him. And then he was like, I can't see how Jesus did this and Jesus did that. And I think he was kind of more of mythology, you know, like a Greek god or something like that. So he was giving all of this. So I said, OK, well, let's just get down to this real quick. Do you believe that Jesus was real? And he said, no. And, you know, and as we were getting ready to talk about some more things, his bus came. Right. But I even said that question that we ask can start sparking something in him. Why do we believe that Jesus is real? And why are we out here walking to try to just talk to you about that? Right. So what we have to do is convince, but also we have to rebuke. Now, rebuke. Somebody say rebuke. Rebuke is not an easy thing. It's not a fun thing, right? I have to think of the times that I've been rebuked. And it was never a thing. I was like, yes, thank you for saying that. Right? Sometimes you hurt. Sometimes you're like, man, why did that person say that? But then other times you're like, he was right. I had to look at myself and say, man, that person was right when he shared that to me. Now there's some observation that I have to do. One of the things that my dad's talking about right now, he's talking about examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. That means there's a test that you have to do. You have to say, do I really believe this? I believe that we have to constantly check ourselves to make sure we fall in line with what God's word is saying. We believe what his word is saying. Amen. Exhort. What does exhort mean? Exhort, to lift up, to build up. This is our job with all long suffering and teaching. Amen. It says, for the time will come, and some versions say, and the time is now, right? Where people will not endure sound doctrine, which means they are filling themselves with doctrines that are not from God. Amen. And when they are filling themselves with doctrines that are not from God, where else could those doctrines come from? The devil. Okay, see, the devil, the Bible says a lot of things about the devil. The devil will not come to you and be like, I'm the devil. Right? I'm the most evil person. He doesn't come to you like that. The Bible says he actually comes as an angel of light. Right? Seeking who he may devour as a lion. Right? He comes as these different things to try to get you to not walk in the word of God. Amen? But I believe that right now the devil's main thing to do for believers is to get us weary. It's to get us tired. Man, what you're doing is not really impactful. What you're doing, how many people have you really talked to that you led to God? The Bible says that he is an accuser of the brethren. Amen? See, if you are not in God, the devil is not going to attack you. Matter of fact, he's going to keep on giving you good things. Oh, yeah, good things. Why? Because those are distractions. Right. Oh, yeah. You know what? Give him a promotion. He's not going to church anyway. Give him this. Give him that. Right. You get a house. You get a car. Right. Whatever. He's giving all these things out. Right. To keep you distracted from seeking God. And a lot of times it says this, but it's according to their own desires. That's a dangerous thing. See, we have desires in us that we have to get rid of. Right? The Bible says that we must die daily, right, to ourselves. We must take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow God, as it says in Luke 9:23, right? So it's very important that we deny, somebody say deny, our desires so that we can follow God. Amen? It says they will have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. And be turned aside to fables. Have you ever known somebody to be following a lie? Or maybe you lied before and got somebody to follow that. And if you know it's a lie, it's like, man, there's something that goes on inside of you. Right? I tell people all the time, when my kids lie, I can see it in their face. There's something they do differently. They might twitch their nose up after they say it. Right? You can't hide the lie. But what if somebody doesn't know that it's a lie? Right? There was a story, there was a book about a kid that kept lying, and after a while, people started believing him. And then he's like, oh, I can't stop lying, and everything kept happening. The lies kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and guess what? He was tired of lies because he knew it was deception. So it was like in this book, I don't know if that was a movie or what, but I'm pretty sure it was a movie too, but he wanted to stop lying because he saw that it was not helping people. He kept lying. Everything was a lie. If they asked him, hey, Johnny, did you clean your room? Yep. they kept asking him all these things and he kept lying. But see, what happens is if you lie enough, you end up lying away from the truth. Amen. He says, but you, somebody say me, I must be watchful in all things. See, I have to, as I talked about today, defend myself, not only myself, but the body of Christ to the best of my ability, right? It's not just for you that you are defending the faith. You guys ever thought about that? The more Precious stands for God, the more it impacts somebody else. The more Monica stands for God, the more it impacts somebody else, right? The more that any of us stand for God, the more that others are impacted and changed because they're like, man, there's something different about that person. Right? Every time that person comes in, they light up the room. Why? They want to know why. Because God is within us. And the more that we surrender to him, the more that we guard ourselves and defend the faith, the more it says how good God is. Amen. I don't know about you. If you have some good food and you sometimes when I know Precious used to say when she was at her job, they had a refrigerator and sometimes people would go in and eat her food. And she was like, man, oh, my goodness. So I was like, why you put it in their refrigerator? You know, like when I get something that I don't want other people to get, I might put it in the back of the refrigerator, put something in front of it. Right. I might. You know, they can't see that. Cool. All right. Perfect. Why? Because I want that. And I'm trying to keep it from anybody else. right? Or I just might go to the store super late while everybody's sleeping and be like, okay, cool, got that, perfect. All right, now I can wind down and eat my strawberry cheesecake ice cream, right? Whatever it is for you, I'm just saying, right? But we protect the things we really want in life, right? You get a phone. What do you? What's the first thing you get when you get a new phone? A case. Why? Because you're trying to protect that thing, right? And then if you're really about protecting your phone, you get a screen cover just in case because you don't want the glass to break, right? You're doing everything you can because you're like, I paid whatever $1 million. I don't know. It's not a million, but you know what I mean? I paid all this money for a phone and I want to protect it, right? Do we do the same with our faith? See, God paid the ultimate price. The Bible says that no greater love can a man show except for laying down his life for a friend. He laid his life down, but he got back up because he had not sinned. And the law of sin and death was you had to sin to die. And since he died, he was without sin, he was able to raise back from the dead. Amen. How much do we guard that? There's so many people that say so many different things, even about Jesus dying. How do we guard that in our daily lives? And part of the guarding is not going and arguing with people. How many of you argued with somebody that didn't believe with God and it actually was fruitful? Right. I mean, some people getting shouting arguments. You know, there's people that are downtown. I'm not really going to say who they are, but they're yelling and and, you know, my friend was like, hey, let's go talk to them. I was like, nah, bro, because it's going to be an argument. Now, if we can calmly talk about what you believe and then really look into the scriptures, then that's cool. Right. That is the part where you are correcting. Right. The Bible says the word of God is useful for all things, especially for correcting, rebuking and training us in righteousness. Right. And we have to be the ones who guard the faith, but do it the right way. Amen. All right. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read through this chapter. It's verse three all the way through verse 20. It's not too long, but I want us to catch this and get this in our spirit. Is that all right? All right. It says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, this is Paul. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 right now. OK, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. But this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and Timothy is usually the young man in the faith. That's how we look at him. He's a young man that Paul found and pretty much trained up, right? And out of the gate, the one thing he does and says is, don't let anybody else teach another doctrine. Don't let anybody else teach another doctrine. Then he says in verse 4, nor give heed to fables or and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. See, I talked about the arguments. That's what happens when you are coming up with things that really don't have anything to do with the word of God. Right. They're not based in the word of God. And since they are not based in the word of God, it falls under the fables and endless genealogies. What is a genealogy? What is genealogies? History. Now, wow, look at this. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm not trying to debunk anybody's systems right now, but a lot of the stuff comes from people saying who you came from. You are this. The person said you're not who you are. You're not, you know, it's all these things that people are trying to prove, and they really don't have any proof. Somebody say no proof. But it says in the Bible that it causes disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So let's not get in these arguments that don't produce faith. Amen. It says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed and have turned aside to idle talk. All right. So see, love will keep us from speaking idly. What does idly mean? Empty. There's no point. Right. You guys hear me say it a lot of times. Sometimes you can go places and people will preach the word of God and it's all about what you're going to get. It's all about if you shout 10 times, this is going to happen, right? And if you get loud, you know, this is going to happen. And I'm like, what scripture are we going to go off of? What? I mean, like, it's all right to have a good time in God. But if there's no Bible, there's no word that is transforming our lives continually, then what are we doing? Right? We have to have love, and it has to come from a pure heart. I always tell you guys one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit, O God. That's something that I constantly pray. God, keep my heart clean. I don't want my heart to be all about myself. I don't want my heart to be, look at Marquise. I don't want that, right? Matter of fact, when they be like, hey, all the pastors stand up. I'm not trying to stand up. I don't need all that, right? I just want to be somebody. I want people to see me and be like, man, he loves God. You don't need a title to have he loves God behind you, right? So we have to make sure that we have a pure heart and we are operating in love. See, verse 6 says, from which some have strayed away and have turned aside to idle talk. And not only do they have idle talk, they also desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But the Bible says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Right? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, the murderers of fathers and the murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, what is he saying is, my dad just talked about it this week. The fruits of the spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then right after it, it says, against these, there is no law. So when you are walking in the spirit of God, walking in the fruits of the spirit, there is no law that keeps you from walking in those things. Right? So when you are walking according to what God has called you to do, you don't need the law. Now, don't get it twisted and say, oh, that means I don't have to. I can speed. Right. I can get away. No, that's not walking in the fruits of the spirit. But if we walk in the things of God, he's going to lead us into all truth. Amen. The Bible says that the spirit of God leads us into all truth. And he reminds us of all truth. Amen. Have you ever went through life and you were like, man, I did something wrong. I need to repent. And it might be years down the line. And why? Because the spirit of God is saying, hey, you got to get that. You got the first time you did this, you have to fix this thing. I remember me and my friend Tammy, and we were selling shoes from other countries. We would import them and we would sell them. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, well, this is cool. We're making money. And then I was searching for it. I was like, how come everybody else don't do this? Then it was like in this Google search, it says they allow this for black and Hispanics, even though it's illegal, they allow them to do it. And I was like, wait a minute. Why would they do that? I'm looking into Google to find out why people ain't doing it. And I was like, man, that didn't sit right with me. Right. So I was like, you know how something hits you and you're like, I don't know, but I'm making money though, right? We can use all these excuses. Then I had to tell my brother Tammy, I was like, bro, I read this thing, man, that said this is illegal, bro. We can't do this no more. And Tammy, being the friend he was, well, he's like, if that's what you read, that's fine with me. We don't need this no more. And then people were like, hey, how can we get to connect? I was like, we lost it. I don't know. I'm not even gonna help you get it back into it, because guess what? They could arrest you for that if they wanted to. And I was like, why would they? You know, to me, that didn't make sense. But I said, hey, look, even in the little things I do, I want to operate in integrity. Yeah. I want to operate in godliness. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and finish this. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, because I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the great thing about this is Paul is talking about his past, and he talks about him being a chief of sinners. And I don't know all the sin that Paul did, right? Some of us would be like, I don't know if Paul was the highest sinner. But that's how he felt in his eyes. He's like, I did so much. I persecuted those that were trying to share this gospel. Not only that, at my word, some of them were killed, right? So he really felt, first of all, there was a burden on him for doing some of that stuff. But the great thing he says is that God's grace and his faithfulness even changed me. Amen. Even me. Somebody say, even me. It doesn't matter what you have done. God is able to redeem. Amen. If you don't go home with anything else, no matter what you have done, God is willing and able to redeem you. Amen. And he wants to use you to share what he is doing. Amen. Verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is what he says, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I like this because he even talks about, look, I was persecuting people in Christ, and God showed his long suffering with me, right? He didn't just cut me off, because, you know, we could have died in our sin, right? We could have. How many of you know that there's no difference between the sin that we've done and some other people have done, and others have perished for that, right? But thank God that he was long suffering with us, right? He probably was like, why can't Marquise, I was going to call somebody else's name, but I don't want you to feel bad. Why can't Marquise get it right? Right. God was like, well, let's hold on. I think there's a work going on. And the Bible says that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father praying for us. Right. Interceding. Does that give you energy? Does it give you energy that Jesus is actually spending time praying for us? Right. Because some of us, we get down on ourselves and it's like, I don't want to pray. I'll try to do this thing. It's not going. God, I'm trying it and it's not working. And he's just praying for you. I mean, it gives me hope when you walk up to somebody else and they're like, man, I'm praying for you. And they're really praying for you. That makes a difference. Amen. All right. Last three verses. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare. Okay. By them you wage the good warfare, and having faith and a good conscience, with some having rejected concerning the faith, had suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So what the end of this is Paul instructing Timothy to guard, to defend the faith. Many have rejected, it said, the faith. There's so many different things that are coming up, so many different things that people are believing, but we must defend the faith and not be argumentative. Do it in love. Right? Think about the person that ministered to you. Think about, you know, it's not always the person that's on the street corner telling you you're going to hell, and I believe there's a place for that sometimes. But it's usually the one that says, hey, can we just talk? Yeah. Man, I've been praying for you and God told me this. And, you know, those are the ones that really make a difference. And we have to defend the faith. And part of defending the faith is by sharing it, by making sure it continues to circulate, by making sure others are hearing the gospel and others are being changed by the gospel. And it takes us to to defend the faith. Amen. I really believe that right now, like I said, the enemy's job is to keep us busy and tired and distracted and so concerned with our bills, so concerned with how we're going to make it, how we're going to make money, how we're going to do all these things. But God's concern is that we guard what he's given us, that we defend his word, that we defend our walk with him. Amen. How many know we have to? It's almost like you have to guard. The Bible says, guard your heart. Right. Guard your eyes. Everything that everybody else watches, we can't watch. Right. I was having a conversation with my son about that. As I was driving yesterday, I was like, hey, bro, you got to make sure you guard your eyes. The enemy is trying to bombard you with a whole bunch of images that are not what God wants. And, you know, it's like, man, he's only 10. But it's like, hey, you don't know when the enemy starts. They start younger and younger. So we want to guard everything that we have. We want to defend the faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that you would, first of all, give us the wisdom, God, to defend everything that you've placed inside of us. Give us the wisdom to share your word. God, I rebuke fear, oh God. Many times fear keeps us from doing what you've called us to do. It keeps us bound. And God, we release your love. And dear God, we pray to God that your love would cover us. Oh God, your word says your love even covers a multitude of sins. So God, I pray for forgiveness for us being consumed with so many different things, dear God, and missing out on you. Help us to get refocused. I pray to God that you rekindle the fire within us, oh God, that as we pray with you, dear God, as we spend time in your word, it would bring excitement to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was impactful, go ahead and slip up your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really pray.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.